I don't have anything really cool to pull out of my pocket like Ross did, and he wouldn't give me his Mylar balloon. Yeah, so anyway, I'll do the best I can. This is a conceptual drawing of the Centurion 12-foot wide gin stand. And one of the goals that we had in mind conceptually was to marry some of the best features of the Lummis 170 and 203 gin stand to the 234, which is the consolidated lineage. And we feel pretty happy about the results. We've got some of the best features of each, and we've got a few more tricks up our sleeve. We've got some things coming down the road that we're not able to put in the very first one, but we're building a good foundation. One of the first things we wanted to do was rethink saw ginning from the ground up. And so we started with the saw itself. What you'll see here is pretty much a typical type of gin saw shaft. And this technology has been about the same for many, many, many years. And this patent application image will tell much of the story. The current connection for a gin saw to a shaft includes a single tab, and you'll notice that the shaft has two tabs, or two keyways down here and here. Normally, when you stack a saw cylinder, you take the saws and you alternate them. You put the tab up on the first saw, and you turn the second saw over and put on the second one. And the reason you do that is to improve the balance. Oh, and before I leave that, you'll also notice if you make a vertical line from here to here and split the saw in half, you'll see the tab right there will be bisected. So it's the saw is symmetrical about that axis. On the Centurion saw shaft, you'll see it's a little bit different. It does have two keyways, but they're not symmetrical, at least not about that vertical line, just like before. And I'm sure some of you might say, why bother? Well, I'll tell you why. There's three reasons. The first is you don't have to remember which way to spin the saws in order to keep them in balance, because they're automatically in balance no matter what. Secondly, and I'm sure this may have never happened to any of you, but if you ever have a saw cylinder that's perhaps half of it stacked in one direction, and half of it stacked in another direction, you understand the pain, and we feel your pain. So what we'd like to do is make it so that can't happen. Because the shaft is only keyed in one way, no matter which way you stack, which end of the shaft you stack onto the middle, they'll all be turned the right direction. And the third reason is, if you look at this picture here, this particular saw shaft is driven from one end, so it's not symmetrical end to end. Well, with this design, you can't put the saws on opposite relative to the drive end. So you get all three wrapped up into one. Also, we're using this as an opportunity to introduce a new premium saw. So we've got a new premium saw material and process we're really, really excited about. And you'll be hearing some more about that to come. Next, I'd like to tell you a little bit about the very first one. We're installing it right now, in fact, at Lone Star Gin in Pampa, Texas. I had to break my visit short at Pampa while we were doing the installation to come here and make this presentation. I'm excited to do it, but I'm disappointed that we didn't actually get to put any cotton through it before I left. So assuming I can get back out of here this afternoon, I'll be heading right back. I'd like to show you or tell you first a little bit about some of the different features that we've got. The idea is that we would use the same gin stand design and offer it in three different widths. We've got the heavy precision machined heads. On this prototype, we're using independent motors on everything. We've got, interestingly enough, two on the saw cylinder, one at each end. We've got a separate motor on the doffing brush, two on the agitator, a separate one on the picker roller, and another separate one on the upper moting. We're using a 6-inch diameter saw mandrel so that we don't bow the shaft in the middle from the weight of the saws. And we have long life roller bearings. These are heavy duty and they've got a wide inner race to increase the surface area on the shaft. And we've already talked about the saw. We've borrowed from the Lummis lineage for the ribs. So we use the 170 and the 203 ribs. We use a pivoting gin breast, which we borrow from the consolidated lineage. We have some really nice touchscreen controls. We've got a lot of ideas down the road that we want to do to figure out how to keep the breast in so that we don't... We all know the key to getting more bells out the door at the end of the week is keeping that breast in. We've got powered roll box doors. We've borrowed from the consolidated lineage in that we've got a top roll box door and a front roll box door. We like this because it increases your accessibility to the roll box. And we have multiple U.S. and international patents currently pending. Here's a little video of the install just before I left Pampa. We're running the feeder apron up and down. We run air cylinders on it, on the breast. There's the upper roll box door opening and the front roll box door opening. And then we'll just open it the other sequence. We'll open the front and then the top. Lower the apron and pull the breast back in. So that gives you some idea of what it looks like and where we're headed with this. The touch screen is large, it's easy to see, easy to operate, and here's a straight-on view of it. The gin control cabinet on this prototype has got variable speed drives on each of the motors. The only motors that are not, or VFDs that are not housed in this cabinet are the spike cylinders in the 700 feeder and the saw motor VFDs themselves. Because it's been such an interesting topic, I'd like to also mention that, you know, the last couple of years we've been working on what we're calling the Jupiter system. And this control scheme is Jupiter system compliant, meaning that we can communicate with this machine along with many of the others that we're putting new controls in so that we can interconnect all the devices in the gin plant. We can have visibility across an Ethernet or Internet network, and we can communicate, and we're building more and more of our product line so that it will be part of this Jupiter system network. And this control is no exception. And of course, this will also help us in the future for data collection as well, which is what we plan on being able to do. This one also has a large touch screen right in the middle. It's actually a duplicate of the control panel in the front. It doesn't have to be here, but it was really, really handy during setup and diagnostics. And it's also a spare, so it can actually be swapped out with the main screen. And here's a shot of the two 200 horse motors on the back of this 12-foot wide gin stand. Each of these motors is controlled by an independent variable speed drive. These drives are set up in such a way that they can be synchronized and programmed together in a master-slave arrangement. And here's the look pretty picture that we took just before we packed it up off the factory floor and shipped it to Lone Star. And that's what I have for today.
Thank you, Mark.